The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 18th chapter. Jesus said to his disciples, "If another member of the church sins against you, go and point out the fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you've regained one. But if you're not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the evidence of two or three witnesses. And if the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the church, let such a one be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. Truly I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Christ.
You may be seated. Once in a while, one of the Advent people will come to me or to Michael and say, "I really liked that hymn," or, "Can we sing this particular hymn sometime?" No one has ever threatened either of us with bodily harm over the choice of hymns. Michael and I work together. We share your concerns, figure out together how to maintain the parameters of our worship requirements, and how to incorporate your viewpoint and your input. In some congregations, though, the disputes over music have come to be known as worship wars. And they happen often enough that I had a lecture in my seminary class called Worship Wars. But not here. People in this faith community understand that it's important to resolve any conflict that might undermine its mission. In any community, from a family, to a board, to a scout troop, to a book club, conflicts have to be managed so that they don't damage or interfere with the mission of that community. As St. Matthew writes in his gospel that we just heard, when he writes this, he's writing to a church, a community, that's having conflicts within it over how to live as Christians who are rooted in Jewish traditions. Which rules of Jewish life should they still be required to keep? The Ten Commandments, circumcision, not eating bacon cheeseburgers. And everyone had an opinion. And since it was about God, these conflicts were deeply felt, and they threatened to undermine the church's witness to God's inclusive love. So, how to settle a conflict within a community so that the mission stays central? And Matthew recalls and records for us Jesus' instructions on this. These words that we read from Matthew 18 are inscribed in all of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America's congregational constitutions, including ours. First, go to the person that you have a conflict with and listen to their reasoning from their point of view and try to come to an understanding with that person. You may find that you can compromise, or one of you may say, "Oh yeah, now I see it," and embrace the other's opinion. Or you may need to just disagree agree to disagree and let that disagreement continue while still maintaining the unity in the mission, which is what we find ourselves doing a lot in this political climate, having to listen to each other. That's what people in our streets want. They want to be heard. They want to know that they're being listened to. Now, this is a lot easier to listen to someone in a one-on-one conversation and not via Facebook. And when it works in the conflict between two people, then the relationship is restored and you can go on focusing on the common mission, whatever it is that you share, whatever you're trying to accomplish. However, sometimes that doesn't work. And then you may need to invite a third party, a witness, to hear each side impartially. And perhaps that person can reframe the argument so that the conflict can be resolved. In a family, this may happen when the family goes to meet with a counselor. In an organization, perhaps the leader will mediate. And then, if that doesn't work, the issue may need to be resolved by the whole community, perhaps by discernment, perhaps referendum, perhaps consensus. And that's what we're seeing on our streets also, a plea for the community to listen. When there's a meeting of a community and they use Robert's Rules of Order, or if you're in a courtroom, the disputants can only address the chair or the judge. They don't get to address each other. The conflict has to stay community-based. So airing a dispute in community is not the same thing as gossiping behind the back of the person or triangulating in a third party to help you go do something about so-and-so. If any of these three interventions that Jesus told us about can restore the relationship, then again, the community can turn its attention to its mission. And the hope is that the relationships in the community will be resolved and the group gets on with its business, its mission. Because if the relationship stays broken, then some people will be outside the community and the group will be broken and its mission will be compromised. And then part of its mission becomes the restoration of those who have broken away. Because within a missional community, resolving conflict is never about winning or losing. It's about maintaining the relationships for the sake of the mission. If winning the argument is your goal, then you've lost. Even God declares this, "As I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked." Warning. Because people who like God care about each other and fear broken relationships, have no pleasure in them, and who fear that a rupture in the unity of the group will underline undercut its mission, well-intentioned people who love the group and its members and its mission, these people may try to avoid conflict by pretending it doesn't exist. You ever been in that kind of situation? People just agree not to talk about something? Not there. The elephant in the room thing? Which is something we're seeing in our society right now. And we see it in churches and families all the time. Brushing conflicts and issues under the rug only works for so long. So we have Jesus's prescription for conflict resolution in the church that comes immediately after his story, his parable, about the shepherd who goes out looking for the one lost sheep. Smoothing over conflict without airing and listening to differences can produce lost sheep. The person may quietly leave the group, perhaps ghosting, perhaps making an innocuous excuse. because they haven't been heard. They feel that they haven't been heard. Or maybe the community cuts them out by just not inviting them to meetings or informing them of things that are going on, which is a lot easier now when we don't see people in person. Ignoring may seem easier than confronting, but the results are far worse. So Jesus lifts up for us that the point of confrontation is reconciliation. It's only when the group, even two or three, but it's only when the community is in agreement on doing something the way in Jesus' name, the way that Jesus would do it, in other words, only then does their piece of the mission of the kingdom move ahead. Even though St. Paul says to owe anyone nothing but love, we also owe it to each other to not be afraid to speak the truth in love. All are welcome, but not all behaviors are welcome. Jesus doesn't want us to tolerate bullying, berating, belittling of others, or violence. Jesus doesn't want people who behave in that way to be lost to the community either. But neither can destructive behaviors be allowed to destroy the community or distract it from its mission. Sometimes you have to take the keys away from someone who's not safe to drive. And that's going to make them angry. But even if they never speak to you again, you've done it out of love. And you invite them to express their anger to you so that you can hear their pain and perhaps restore the relationship. As a part of a Christian community, you're called to make every good faith effort to make your community work. Our failures to make living in community work bring dishonor to our faith, to God, and to Christ's church. A friend of mine cynically said that Jesus could safely promise that when two or three of us agree on anything in his name, he would do it, because you never get two or three church members to agree on anything completely. In the kingdom of God, which the church is called to realize, in that perfect kingdom in its fullness, there are no broken relationships. But we're not there yet. In my own brokenness, I want to bind others to what I think is right and best. This community, you, my brothers and sisters, can loose me from my myopic interpretations and help me to realize more fully the vision of the kingdom. Each of us is called to do this for each other. And we trust that in the end, God will bring us all into perfect reconciliation with God's self, each other, and the whole creation. The whole point of the institution of the church is to give us a place for forgiving and restoring broken relationships. That's our mission. Jesus institutes the church not to exclude, but to invite everyone into God's loving embrace. And for that, we can say, thanks be to God. Amen.